Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, the second line. Tanya Rabbi Nosson Omer. And we have a brisa here of Rabbi Nosson. Bas Chorin Hizu Umakpedes Ad Sheyirchotz Yodov Gimel Pa'amim. And what that means is that the spirit is a free agent. And we spoke about this concept of a spirit. It's a ruach ra, and it hovers over one's hands before he washes them in the morning. And it's called baschorin because a ruach ra is kavod beruchos kiben chorin pibnei adam, amongst the heavenly spirits. It has the covet, it has the status of a free person amongst men. And it is very careful and demanding about a person insisting on his washing his hands, Shalosh Pa'amim, three times. And you'll see this in Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Aruch Chaim. He has to pour water three times over each one of his hands. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Puch, which is a kind of a rouge, some sort of cosmetics. In Hebrew it's called a kol. Shenosnim ba'ayin, that's put into the eye. We'll call it maybe mascara. It's mentioned in Malachim. And Mavir Basmelech, it removes this ruach ra and he says here he zikali enov kishenoga bohen kodim netila. Somehow it's able to counter the ruach ra, and if a person touched his eyes before he washed his hands, so to be mavir this basmel, to remove this spirit, this ruach ra, he should use, or she should use puch. Uposek es hadima, and this ruach ra could actually stop a person from tearing. Mar beser bafapayim, it increases the hair on one's eyelids, or perhaps eyelashes. Tanya Namihachi, we also learned a brisa that would support this statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi Omer Puch Mavir Basmel Posek Es Hadima Umarbe Ser Bafapai. The Omar Mar Ukva Omar Shmuel Olin, which is a kind of a grass, Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah, it cannot impact on healing the eyes. And it doesn't enhance one's eyesight. And therefore, it doesn't come under the Issur Refuah on Shabbos. And he's permitted to use it on Shabbos. So we're talking about eating a plant or a grass that's called olin as a cure for the eye. But the Gemara is telling us that it really has no impact. It doesn't enhance one's eyesight, and therefore it's mutter. Omar Rav Yosef, kuzbarta, which is what we call kuzbara, which is a kind of a spice. In English, it's called coriander. Ein ba mishum refuah, it has no effect in healing the eyes, and therefore it would not come under the Issur Refuah on Shabbos. Omar Rav Sheshes, kshos, or kshus, which we said were hops. Abraham, mishum refuah, doesn't have any impact. So therefore, eat as many hops on Shabbos as you want. If you think it's a medicine, fine. But hops are eaten by healthy people, And it's certainly not obvious to anyone that it has any impact on the eyes. Omar Rav Yosef, achilas kuzbarta, eating this coriander, afil didi, even for someone like me, I'm blind, kushali, it still sort of generates a pain in my eye. I get an eye headache, or an eye ache, if we could call it that, from eating kuzbara. Omar Rav Sheshes Gargira, and Rav Sheshes is also blind, nevertheless he says that eating something called Gargira, which is a min semach shenikra oros, is afilu didi mali. It's good for my eye. I guess it has some sort of a soothing effect on my eye. So we want to get a hold of this plant, which is called oros, and its English translation is rocket, and it was beneficial to his eyes. Omar Rav Ukva, Omar Shmuel, Kalminik Shus Sharu. Right, all different kinds of hops are mutter to eat on Shabbos, because it's not obvious to the spectator that he's doing it for the sake of refuah. Of course, even Briam, even healthy people will eat these hops. Labar, but the exception is mi taroza. Taroza is a kind of hops that you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos, because it's eaten specifically for therapeutic value, and therefore it's muchach, everyone could see that he's doing it for health purposes. So that's called teruza. Now exactly what teruza is, we're not totally sure about that, but it's definitely something that people eat for medical purposes. Omar Rav Chisda, Shrika Tavya Shari. Muto Limshal Bishabis Shemen Ubeitzim Alatzlik Shucham. So you have a roasted hot egg, and you want to smear on it oil. You have a roasted piece of meat, and you want to smear on it shemen and eggs. And this is permissible. However, pipue be'e, which are trefas beitzim bekara, so you have an egg in a bowl, and you want to a raw egg, and you want to mash it around, whisk it around. So that's prohibited, because that looks like he's preparing for Bishul. And one might suspect him of Chas V'Shalom cooking an egg on Shabbos. The Gemara now tells a story. Debesu Deziri, the wife of Ze'iri, Avdale, she prepared for Ze'iri this kind of smearing of oil or beitzim on top of something that was roasted, and v'lo achal, and he refused to eat it. I'm sorry, it says here that she prepared this for Ze'iri, l'chiyo bar ashi, v'lo achal. So it seems that the wife of Ze'iri made this kind of roast that was smeared, and Chiyabar Ashi was a Talmud of Ze'iri, and he didn't eat it. Apparently Chiyabar Ashi thought that this kind of a roast is prohibited on Shabbos, and the reason for that, he says, is ein ze tikun, He says, L'chorah, it should certainly be mutter. It's not called a tikkun. Omer le, l'rabach avdi le v'ochal, v'at lo achalas. You know, I prepared this for your Rebbe, my husband, and he ate it. Why don't you eat it? And the Gemara can explain why Ze'iri thought it was okay to eat this. Ze'iri ochal, he ate this tzli shemashchu v'shemenu beitzim, why l'tamei? Because he held that you're allowed to prepare this on Shabbos. The Omer Ze'iri, no seid adam yayin solul umayim tzlulim l'toch ha-mishameres b'Shabbos. So a person is allowed to put wine, clear wine, or clear water, into a strainer on Shabbos, and he doesn't have to worry about this. And he's doing it k'deshi utzlulim yoser, so that it'll even be more clear. And this is not called meleches borer. Alma, we see from Ze'iri, kevan de mishtetei hachi, he could drink it even without straining it. Therefore, lav midikov, it's not considered a violation of iser borer. So borer only applies when you remove soles, which you're makpid on. Is hachinami, here too, kevan de mitochil hachi, that you can eat this roast even without smearing the oil and the eggs on it, is lav midikovid, that's not called a metaken. It's not called something that he is fixing up. So Ze'iri hold that this is all mutter. We're not sure about Chiya Bar Ashi, why he thought it was osur. V'omar mar ukva, mi shenigfa yodo, right, nechpola yodo, so he has some sort of injury on his hand, or raglo, or his foot, tsomsa, he's allowed to reduce its swelling by soaking it the yayin v'eino choshesh. So the question is, why is this not considered a refuah on Shabbos? And keep in mind that he is stopping the bleeding of this chavola, and it's not considered a refuah. Perhaps we could say that it really doesn't heal him, although it does stop his bleeding, or maybe the remedy is something that takes time, so it's not immediately a refuah. Iboiluhu, the Gemara has a suffix about Shriya. Can he soak his injured hand or foot in vinegar? Chalomai. And chala is another word for chometz in Hebrew, which is vinegar. And this is a little bit stronger than wine, and therefore perhaps it's considered refuah. Maybe it has an immediate impact. Amar Rav Hillel Ravashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana, when I was in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Amri, they said chalolo, that to soak your arm or your leg in vinegar for medicinal purposes, that's prohibited. Because that has, I guess we'd say, a more profound an immediate impact of a therapeutic nature on his wound. Omar Rava, Vahani b'nei Mechoza, the people that live in Mechoza, kevan de Mefanki, since they're very Mefunakim, Meunagim, you know, they love a lot of oneg, a lot of pleasure, is afilu chamra nami masi lehu. Even wine could possibly heal them, because even though it's only chazak tzas, it's not as strong as vinegar, but nevertheless, this is a refuah for the b'nei mechoza like chometz, like vinegar, and therefore it's also for them to soak their maka, their wound, in yayin. Ravina ikla lebei Rav Ashi. So Rav Ikli visited the house of Rav Ashi. Chazei didrichale chamora agava dekare. He saw that a donkey had stepped on the top of Rav Ashi's foot. V'yosiv chotzomisle bechala. And Rav Ashi was mashra, he soaked his foot in vinegar, lekavtza, in order to reduce the swelling. Omalei Saravina said, wait a minute, lo sovraloch, lo mar loha, do you not agree with the din of Rav Hillel, the Omer of Hillel, chala, when it comes to vinegar, is asur lo, omalei, gav hayad v'gav haregel, shiny. The top of the hand or the top of the foot is different. And the reason why it's mutter to do refuah in these cases is because makosam kosher umisukenes. We're talking about a dangerous kind of wound, umachalin oleos ha-shabbos. We could even violate a melech ha-shabbos, an iser da'oraisa on Shabbos, a melech da'oraisa. Because gav hayad v'aregel he-mekomos sheyesh bem harbe gidin. So they're full of capillaries, etc., sinews, and arezu, if it has a makor, it's a sakona l'chol aguf. Ika di Amri, according to a second version of this same incident, Ravina Chazye de Katsomisle Bechamri, Ravina Soravashi, that he was trying to reduce the swelling on his injury, on his foot, biyayin, by soaking it in water. Amalei lo sovalei mar lohad yom rava. Don't you agree with that which Rava says? Hani b'nei mechoza keva de mefanke afilu chamer nami masile. Even wine is prohibited, and it's considered a refuah. And the reason for that is the b'nei mechoza are considered mifunakim, and they're very sensitive in that way. Umar nami ha mefanek. And you too are, Rav Ashi, are a mefunak, a meunak. And therefore even wine should be prohibited. Omalei, gav yad v'gav regel shiny. These are cases which are dangerous. The Omer Rav Ado bar Masta Marav. Gav hayad v'gav regel harein kemako shel cholol. It's like an internal injury. And it's very dangerous. And therefore mechalin Aleim es haShabbos. We will actually violate the Shabbos in these kinds of injuries. And again, as we know, v'chai bohem, that we override the Shabbos for and do anything necessary for a life-threatening injury. Now, in the case of medical treatments on Shabbos, that's only derabbanan, and that's gzeira atu shchika samemonim. Now, I don't know why the Gemara needs to say that there's a pikuach nefesh here. And pikuach nefesh will be docha doraisa, but here we're talking about darbonon. I don't know if you need that level of psikresha. I'm sorry, of sakanta. In fact, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah paskin or chayim in Shin Chav Ches that if you have a cholu has to go into bed, then he's allowed to do refu on Shabbos. So we certainly don't need a pikuach nefesh situation to be matir refu on Shabbos. So it's not so clear as to why the Gemara found it necessary to emphasize that a wound on top of the head or the top of the hand or on top of the foot is life-threatening. Even if it hadn't been dangerous, you'd be allowed to treat it medically because you're allowed to do medicine for anyone who's considered ill. And we're off to Tana Rabbana. Tana Rabbana and Rochatzin. Now we're talking about Rechitza. In cases where Rechitza is done, Litzarch Refuah. Rochatzin v'mei gror v'mei chamosan v'mei asya b'shabbos, and even v'mei tveria. Avalo b'yama gadol v'lo v'mei mishra v'lo b'yama shel sdom. So it's permitted to bathe in the waters of Grar. Grar is a place that's mentioned in Brachos, also it's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. And the waters of Grar, although they were therapeutic in their value because they were salty, nevertheless the Brachos says you're allowed to bathe in them on Shabbos because healthy people also bathe in these waters. And therefore it's not heker, it's not evident and obvious to anyone that he's doing it for medical purposes. And Mei Chamson, the waters of Chamson, that's a place right outside Tveria. Mei Asya, which is apparently the Gemara mentions Asya in a whole bunch of places. And once again, you're talking about water that's a bit salty, and therefore it helps to some extent for therapeutic reasons. And Mei Tveria, which are hot, the hot springs of Tveria, that's where people wash. And therefore it's not in any way nikar that he's doing it for the purpose of refuah. But in the case of Yam HaGadol, and we're going to explain why it's usa to be rochets b'Yam HaGadol a little bit later, that is prohibited. And we're probably referring to the Mediterranean here. I know he calls it the Great Sea. Anyway, it's apparently a body of water that surrounds continents. And these are the oceans of the world, the Great Sea. And v'lo b'mei mishra, you're not allowed to use mei mishra, which is water that was used for soaking flax, that cannot be used for bathing on Shabbos, because who would bathe in Mei Mishra unless he was doing it? The only possible reason is because he's doing it for a fool. V'lo b'yama shel sdom, and you're not allowed to bathe in the Dead Sea on Shabbos because it's very, very salty, and people don't usually bathe over there, and it must be that he's bathing for the purpose of refuah. So as a result of the fact that the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelech, has kishmo kenu, it has a high salt content, then nobody bathes there except for therapeutic purposes. So it's muchach and nikar that it's l'shem refuah, and therefore it's asur. And we had a Gemara earlier on Daf Kuf Ches, which seemed to indicate that a person can wash with water from the Dead Sea. That was referring to water that had been removed from the Dead Sea. Here he's bathing in the sea itself. Now the Gemara asks a question from a stira to another brisa on this brisa. V'raminu rochatzin, we have another brisa that says rochatzin b'mei Tveria u'b'yam HaGadol, that not only are we allowed to go into the hot springs of Tveria on Shabbos, but even to dip into the Great Sea, which we just said in the other brisa that regarding the Dead Sea, one is enjoined from bathing there, as we said before, v'lo lo b'yam HaGadol. Now, the brisa continues, it says, avalo b'mei mishra. In our brisa, the original brisa, it said that you're not allowed to wash in mei mishra, and that no one would use that that water for bathing unless he was doing it for a fuah, those who mayim sruchim, sheshorim bo sapishton. So that's okay. V'lo b'yama shel sdom, and that's okay as well, because yam sdom is a reference to Yam HaMelech. Kasha yam HaGadol yam HaGadol, and the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, and why not? Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir does not differentiate between Yamagodol and other bodies of water. And in both cases, he will be Mekil. And that's the second brisa here that says Rochetzim v'Yamagodol. But the first brisa that says you're not allowed to wash in the Great Sea, that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. He makes a distinction between other bodies of water as opposed to the Great Sea. Disnan. And now we're going to try to prove this. Now, just as a little bit of an introduction here to the Mishnah in Masechta Parah that we're about to learn, and it's also a Mishnah Mikvos, says there are two dvarim in two different ways we can contrast a mayon with a mikvah, spring water with collected water. Number one, is mei hamayon heimayim chayim, which means that they are flowing waters that come from a spring, and they're ksherim, they can be used even for tefillah zav, or we could collect the water from a mayon and use it for hazos, dam, tzipor, mitzora, or for kiddush mechatos. Whenever the Torah requires mayim chayim, we're allowed and we're pointed towards the spring water. However, if you're asking about the status of a mikvah, the mikvah is not valid, it's not kosher for any of the above, because that's not called mayim chayim. Number two, a mayon has the power to be metayer tovlimbo, those who go into it, even when its waters are zochalin, are flowing, because a mayon is darko lizchol, so that's called zochalin. In the case of a mikvah, on the other hand, a mikvah is only metayer when its waters are mekunosim v'omdim, they are gathered together and they are stagnant. But if you have a mikvah of zochalin, then in such a case, the mikvah is possible. It cannot be mitayer. And this is all based on a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Ach Mayanu Bar Mikvah Mayim Yetar, and the Toras Konim, the Sifra Darshins in Parsha Shmini, Ach Mayon, Mayan mitayer bezochalin, v'ein mikvah mitayer bezochalin. So we're talking about mayim chayim in terms of tefilas zav, and for using it for mechatos, to mix it with the efer of a parah duma. And we're talking about mayim chayim as live water, which means moving water. It has its natural current of water, as opposed to a mikvah, which is not mayim chayim and does not have this current and this zochalin. Now, the Tana of the Mishnah in Parah, which we're about to learn now, is going to teach us that all the seas of the world, all the oceans, like, for example, we're going to talk about the Dead Sea, we could talk about the Sea of the Galilee, meaning the Kinneret, you can talk about Caspian Sea, Mediterranean, all the seas have the status of a mikvah. So if you go to Betovel in an open sea, it's not going to be valid unless the waters are collected in one particular place and they are stationary, they are stagnant, they're not zochalin. Not only that, you have to keep in mind that seawater is not mikvah water. It's not mayim chayim. It's basically mikvah water. Therefore, kol hayamim, all the waters and the oceans of the seas, sheba'olam kim mikvah, they have the status of mikvah water. Toras mikvah lehem, not toras mayon. And therefore, all the waters, they don't have a status of mayim chayim for tefillah zav, fazos dam tzipor, of a mitzora for kiddush meichatos, etc. And number two, the waters of the seas are only going to be kosher for tefillah if they are mechunasim v'omdim, if they're collected and stagnant in one place like a mikvah, but not when they are zochalin, they have this current. Shenemar, this is all based on a pasuk at the beginning of the Torah. It says, l'mikveh mayim kara yamim. The Torah calls yamim mikveh. And that's a reference to all the waters, all the bodies of water in the world. They have a Torah's mikveh. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He wants to make distinctions here. According to Rabbi Meir, we have no room for distinctions. You know, the Yamagodol, Shar Yamim, they all have the same status of mikveh. Rabbi Yehuda says Yamagodol, the great sea, which is called in our language the Yam Okainus, that alone is a mikveh. That's not Metayr Bezochlin. That doesn't have a din, a status of Mayim Chayim. And about this Yam HaGadol, the Torah describes, L'mikveh Mayim Kara Yamim, it's called a mikveh Gadol, a mikveh Mayim. Because that's the place, this Yam HaGadol, where all the waters of the world at the time of Bereishis, of creation, gathered together in one large mikveh. All the other waters on the face of the earth, says Rabbi Yehuda, have the status of a mayon. Velo nemar yamim, and when it says yamim in Lashon Rabim, ula mikveh mayim kar yamim, ela sheyesh bo mine yamim harbe, that this sea, the Yam HaGadol, has something of all the different types of waters, because they all are nochalim, they flow into the Yam HaGadol. And, for example, the Rosh says that you cannot compare the tam, the taste of a dog, that you could fish in Akko, up north, to the tam of a dog that you can fish from the Mediterranean. Each yam has its own taste, and each fish in that yam has its own taste. So far, in this Mishnah, we have two shitos, and the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is awesome, because with the exception of Yam HaGadol, which is called a mikveh according to Rabbi Yehuda, all the other bodies of water do not have the status of mikveh. And Rabbi Meir says all the waters on the face of the earth have the status of a mikveh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hayamim, including Yam HaGadol, mitarim bezochlin, they have the status of a mayon, because they also have currents. They also move. They're not stagnant. And derech hanecholim lizchol el yamim, and all the rivers that have currents and mayon, they all flow towards the larger bodies of water, the seas of the world. However, psulim lizovim ulemitzoroim ulekadish behem mechatos, they have all the waters of the world, all the bodies of water, the status of a mikveh, as opposed to Mayim Chayim, with regard to Zav, Mitzora, and Kiddush Mechatos. The Torah calls them a mikveh, and that means that it's not a Mayon, and it's not Mayim Chayim, and it's Pasul Lizovim. So when Yam HaGadol is Mitayer in those cases, then it's Mitayer even Bezochlin. Now, Rabbi Meir doesn't distinguish, as we mentioned, between Yam HaGadol and all other bodies of water. He holds that there's one din that applies universally to all bodies of water on the face of the earth. Therefore, he would hold that on Shabbos, you're allowed to wash your body even in the Yam HaGadol. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, makes a distinction between Yam HaGadol and all other yamim. And all of the yamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are kosher bezochlin, and Rav Yehuda holds that Yama Gadol is a separate entity. It's called a mikvah. It's not mitar bezochlin. It doesn't have the status of Mayim Chayim. And therefore, with regard to Rechitza, Rabbi Yehuda is going to again press for this distinction between the Yama Gadol and other bodies of water. You're not allowed to wash in the Yama Gadol, whereas you're allowed to wash in all the other bodies of water. Now again, it's very hard to understand what the analogy of the Gemara, what underlies this equation here between, you know, Dinim of Tumah V'Tara, and what's considered Mayim Chayim, what's considered a mikveh, and the din of Isur Rechitza B'Yama Gadol, which has to do with the Isur Refuah. And the Ran wants to take a stab at this. He wants to claim that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the reasoning that underlies Rabbi Yehuda, who passels Me'yama Gadol for Me'chatos, is because of something that we find at the beginning of Masechta Mikvos, that Mayim Meluchim, salty water, psulim lemechatos, cannot be used for mechatos. And therefore the Yama Gadol is possible for mechatos because its waters are very salty. Other yamim are ksherim, because they're not so salty. And for that very reason, Rabbi Yehuda, says the Ran, is going to prohibit Rechitza and the Yama Gadol on Shabbos, because it's so salty in the Yama Gadol, the water is so salty that people would not go in there for bathing purposes, unless for therapeutic purposes. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, holds that all the waters of the world have a status of a mikvah, and they're all possible mechatos. And therefore, he's not operating with this distinction between, well, what level of salt do we have? You know, there's more malichus here in Yama Gadol than in other yamim, which are not so salty. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we could really say that as far as Shabbos is concerned, we shouldn't make any distinction between Yama Gadol and other yamim. But nevertheless, we still have a kasha of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Okay. Now, keep in mind that Yama Gadol, as far as Rechitz is concerned, is only Gzeiras Chachamim. There's no Issur Doraisa. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who differentiates between Yama Gadol and other Yamim, that's Gzeiras HaKosuv. And Maskiflo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Tesamid Beis. Amor de Pligi. We could say the Machlok Shin Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the status of Yama Gadol, if it's like all the other bodies of water, is lenient to Mvitara. That's based on the Pasuk Kora Yamim. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, we're not going to argue about what the phrase Kora Yamim is all about. Does it include all the Yamim or excludes Yama Gadol? We want to know if you're allowed to wash yourself and bathe in Yama Gadol for refuah purposes. Mi shamet luhu. Did we find any machlokas in this context? And the Gemara wants to answer this up. Ella Amar Rav Nachman Bar. No, I'm sorry. Now we're going back to the original stira with regard to Yama Gadol, whether or not you're allowed to be rochets in Yama Gadol. We had two different prices. One said yes, one said no. Lokasha Amar Rav Nachman Lokasha. Ha, the ishtehe, ha de lo ishtehe. The brisa that says you're not allowed to wash in the Yama Gadol, that's a case where he's shoev b'mayim. He stays for a long time in the water, and by remaining in the water, he indicates clearly that he's doing it for a fuah. The brisa that says you're allowed to be rochets in Yama Gadol, that's the lo ishte. He doesn't linger in the waters of the Yama Gadol. He just washes and immediately goes out. And that makes it clear that he's not washing for the sake of refuah. The Gemara now has a kashamayu kimtul abasraisa. How did you interpret the second braisa that allows you to bathe in the Yama Gadol to lo ishtai, because he goes in and he goes out and he's not showing the mayim? Idelo ishtai, if you're indeed talking about a case where he's not showing the mayim, so why does the braisa say that you're not allowed to wash in May Mishra? There too, he doesn't remain for a long time in the main mishra, he's not delaying it, dilly dallying it. Afilu v'mei mishra nami, it should be permissible. Daha tanya, we have a brisa rochtzi v'mei teveria u'b'mei mishra u'b'mayim shel stom yama shel stom afal pishi yeshlo chatotim v'rosho. He has certain scratches, injuries in his head, and he's rochets for the sake of refuah, and it looks to us that he's being rochets l'shem refuah. And yet, it's mut, but only b'med for mamurim shelo nishtaya, avol nishtaya osur. If he lingers on inside these waters, then that indicates clearly that he's not washing for any other purpose other than therapeutic value. And therefore, even in a Mei Mishra, we're going to say that he's allowed to bathe as long as he gets out of there immediately. So in that case, we don't have that ukimta in the brisa, the last brisa that was brought earlier on Amud Aleph, that he's not showing b'mayim. The brisa says, that brisa, that you're not allowed to be rochets b'mei mishra. So therefore the Gemara offers a different alternative answer. Ella, both brisas are talking about shoa berachitza, where he lingers on. Yama godol okasha. Why? Because ha, the brisa that allows you to wash in the yama godol, that's a case of kisharochets b'yofin shebo. He's going into the waters b'mayim ayofim shebiyama godol she'ena maluchin kol kach. The waters there in that place are not so salty, and therefore the derech is to wash, to bathe there on a weekday. And therefore it's not nikar that he's washing himself for the tzorch refuah. Because yofin shebo, these waters are very good in the yama gadol, and they're not salty. And that's the derech lirchots. Ha, but the brisa that says you're not allowed to wash in the yama gadol, that's a case of Biroyim Shabo. He's going into the regular waters of Yama Godol that are very salty, and it's Muchach, it's Nikar, it's clear, and it's evident that he's doing it for the sake of Refuah, and therefore it's us. The Gemara then wants to explain why it's not difficult from the Brisa, this Brisa that allows you to be Rochets from Mishra, on the Brisos above, on Daf Kuftes, or even earlier, that prohibited. Mei Mishra, Mei Mishra, Nami Lo Kasha. Don't ask me about the steer between Mei Mishra and Mei Mishra. Ha, the Ishtahe, Veha, the Lo Ishtahe. The Brisa that says you're not allowed to wash in Mei Mishra, that Brisa holds that we're talking about a case where he Shoeh B'mayim, he dilly dallies, he remains and delays getting out of the water. He's certainly washing for the purpose of rechitzas refuah. However, the brisa that allows you to do this, that's the low ishtay. That's a case where he's not lingering in the water, and therefore it's not muchach that he's washing for the purpose of refuah. That's mut. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Kuftes Amid Beis.